2-1, I've been instructed to do that. Okay. Here we go. Welcome to the City of Goleta Planning Commission meeting for Monday, January 27th, 2014. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
Commissioner Dressler.
Here.
Commissioner Onan.
Here.
Commissioner Solomon. Vice Chair Daniels.
Present.
Chair West.
Here. All right, do we have any speaker slips for the public forum this evening?
No, Chair West.
Okay, then we'll move on. Our first agenda item this evening, could I get the clerk to please read that into the record?
Item A1 is the Planning Commission minutes for the Planning Commission meeting of January 13th, 2014.
Any discussion on that?
None over here.
Okay. I'll move the minutes.
I'll second that.
All in favor of approving the minutes from last meeting, say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, the motion passes four in favor and one absent this evening. Item B, the clerk could please read that into the record.
Item B is for discussion and action, the zoning ordinance proposed annotated outline.
All right, Ms. Wells.
Good evening, Chair West and commissioners. Tonight's item is, of course, on the annotated outline for the future new zoning ordinance for the city. I am accompanied tonight by with Jennifer Carmen, our planning director, Lisa Prassi, our current planning manager, will be coming in soon. And some staff are here from our planning department, Michael Concepcion, Shine Ling, and Andy Newkirk. This has been a collaborative effort and will continue to be, and started off with the public meetings that we had with the interviews back in October, and then the interviews that we had with you and also with the design review board. And we tried to put all that together into this annotated outline. Dayatin Bhatia, our consultant, is leading the effort to prepare the zoning ordinance, of course. And we have Martha Miller here from Dayatin Bhatia. She was here in October for the interviews, so she's very familiar with some of the issues and concerns that during those interviews, and then also familiar with our general plan. As you can see in your packet, the ordinance is accompanied by a general plan matrix showing how the policy connects with this annotated outline. And with that, I'm just going to turn it right over to Martha. The presentation format is interactive, so we take your time and ask questions and provide that high-level guidance that we're looking for as far as the structure and the layout and the content, general content of the ordinance. So with that, I will turn it over to Ms. Miller.
Well, thank you very much. And as Anne mentioned, we're helping the city comprehensively update the zoning ordinance to really reflect Goleta's vision and the general plan, of course, consistent with state and federal law. And so tonight I'll just go over a quick overview of the project, a little bit on what is zoning, kind of setting that context, the annotated outline, and then we'll have discussion throughout at any time. If there's any questions on what I said or you want to weigh in, just interrupt and we can do that. So with the new zoning ordinance, we always want to be reminded of what the objectives are, what we're doing. And it's really about making the zoning ordinance easy to use and understand, using tables and graphics that really facilitate implementation and to implement the general plan and make it really the zoning ordinance that reflects the city and that incorporates the interpretations, recent general plan amendments, the uncodified ordinances, all the stuff that the city's really been doing kind of on an ad hoc basis, putting that all together in an ordinance that's clear, concise, has those clear rules, and that's enforceable at the end of the day. Where we are in the process, as Anne mentioned, we've come out. We've talked to community members, staff. We've done some technical analysis, reviewed the general plan. And we're starting to put that into the framework now so that as we start drafting the standards, we kind of know how it's going to fit into that overall structure. So we're at the annotated outline stage. From there, we'll draft preliminary drafts of standards in modules, or they're discernible, discrete chunks of the zoning ordinance. Zoning ordinance is a little overwhelming to get all at once. So we look at related groups of standards, review those, and then we put them all together and review them again. So it's kind of an ongoing discussion that we have where we're building on the feedback, bringing it back for review and discussion, and then modifying it again. So none of this is kind of a one-time opportunity for input. It goes on. So what is zoning? Zoning is really about being a good neighbor. And historically, the focus has been on separating incompatible uses. And it really kind of took a thou shall not approach, very much focused on what you cannot do. But increasingly, there's been a focus on how zoning can actually support a community's vision. And rather than focusing on what you can't do, really looking at encouraging what you should do and encouraging the type of development that really creates the community that the city is looking for. There's different types of zoning, and I'll touch on a couple of them. The first type of zoning was really use-based zoning, often called Euclidean zoning, and that really gets back to that separation of uses, the incompatible, you know, the industrial next to residential, and the problems that that was creating, so they started separating uses. Well, over time, we started to see some negative effects with that, and leading to, you know, really sprawl and separated uses, and really lost that interconnectivity of some of, you know, downtown cores or city centers. And so jurisdictions started looking at other ways of regulation, some performance-based standards, which where you're really concerned with the outcome, not necessarily how people get there. One example is stormwater runoff requirements. You set the threshold for what people need to achieve, but how they achieve that, there's different mechanisms for doing that. Physical form-based standards, where you're really interested in that third dimension of the building, so moving beyond just heights and setbacks, but looking at articulation, facade requirements, and so on. And this really plays in more in mixed-use areas, where there's less consideration on the types of uses or more allowance for a wider range of uses, but you're really looking at form and how those uses interact. Other zoning, incentive zoning, where there, the city may provide some flexibility in exchange for some public benefit. And then there's a hybrid zoning, which really recognizes that there's a time and place kind of for a blend of all of these. You may have some more traditional zones that are use-based, such as a residential single-family neighborhood, and then there's some areas where form standards are really what you're focusing on, maybe here like an old town or other areas that are a mix of uses. So it's just something we keep in mind as we start to put together what's right for Goleta. We also think about how zoning works at the front counter and how people use zoning and what they're looking for in regulations. Applicants may be looking at some certainty. What are the timeframes for development? How are neighborhood concerns incorporated? How do they affect my project? Design professionals may look at clear rules, and then also how much flexibility there may be. If they have a design solution for something, where and when could they use that, if at all? Planning staff often looks at how to address sometimes competing concerns, having clear rules to implement, and also look at balancing all the different sides of the community and the opinions and the process for that, also protecting the city's character and the environment. And then residents and business owners looking at what can be built on a property, on their property, or even an adjacent property, and what the community might look at and what is their avenue for involvement and how do they get their concerns heard. And then with all that, there's also the trade-off of it's really striking the right balance and what makes sense for Goleta, because what makes sense in another community isn't going to make sense here. But looking at the cost versus the benefit and really making sure that the amount and the type of regulation that you have is the right type for getting the kind of development you want here. And we like to say we look to having the least amount of regulation to get the job done. So it's really having effective and clear regulations versus just having a lot of them. So with the annotated outline, we're really looking at that establishing that framework for moving forward and starting to put these pieces together and starting to draft the standards. And overall, looking at making sure it's user-friendly, it's clear, and it's orderly, brief, it's visual. We're using numbers wherever possible, plain language, trying not to get caught up too much in the legalese part of it, but really something that people can read and understand. And that's also structured to facilitate amendment over time. What you'll find in zoning ordinances, the first maybe half seems pretty clear. It has a logical structure. There's a beginning, middle, and an end. But then over time, all these amendments happen and just got kind of tagged on to the end, and it doesn't really make sense as a whole anymore. So we want to provide that opportunity so that as amendments come up, they can be incorporated into the right place. So there's that logical structure retains over time. And a logical organization, these are some just kind of general principles that we look at. Of course, you know, these don't always get followed to the T as we look at what really makes sense, but generally we'll have general provisions come before special provisions, the more important ones come before less important ones, or the more used provisions would come first. So we just look at how is the regulations typically used and how would people use it and organize it in a way that follows that logical method. So with the zoning ordinance, we're looking at Title 17, really dividing that up into six larger parts. And I'll go into each one of these individually a little bit, but the parts are then broken up by chapters with sections and subsections within them. And part one is the introductory provisions, and this really sets out the general rules that give the city authority to establish zoning, and then also the applicability. It really kind of sets the stage for everything else. It will identify the types of zones, refer to the official zoning map. It'll have rules for language and interpretation so that if there's questions about what and means or what or means, those are explained in there, as well as rules for measurement. So how do you measure building height? How do you measure setbacks and so on? So these are really provisions that set the stage for the rest of the ordinance. Part two is what I refer to as really the meat of the ordinance. This is the base zoning districts. So this has the standards for each of the zoning districts throughout the city, the agriculture districts, residential districts, commercial districts, and so on. And this is an important section because this is, I would say, probably the most used section. When people often come to the front counter, their first question is, you know, what can I do on my property and what are the standards of which I can build it. So can I build a house and how high can it be and what are the setbacks? This is the section that really answers those questions. In your packet, there's a table which shows the proposed zoning districts, which matches them up with the general plan land use diagram, as well as the corresponding existing zoning. And we do that to kind of show that continuum. What's there today for the zoning? What the general plan says about it, and what we're looking at in the new ordinance. Because at the end of the day, we're really looking at implementing the general plan, so providing that connection. And then for each of the districts, there's purpose statements. And these purpose statements describe the intent of the district, and they're often used as a guide for administration. So if there's ever a question of, well, what uses are allowed there? Why did we allow that? We can go, well, the purpose of the district is to allow for neighborhood serving uses. And so it kind of provides that connection of what the intent of the district is. Next is the use regulations, which provides a table of what uses are allowed in the district and then what standards or what level of permit is required for that. So we'll look at tables that have each of the uses and then whether they're allowed by right, if they're allowed subject to, say, a use permit, or if they're allowed maybe subject to a certain limitation. There's some uses that may be okay, but you want to limit them. Well, you know, a cafe up to 1,500 square feet might be fine in this district. So we can put that right into the table. So it's an allowed use, but there's a limitation on the size. So we'll put that into the use regulations. There's also cross-references to other parts of the ordinance. So if there's rules and, say, citywide standards, which I'll get to, that apply to that use, there's a cross-reference right there. So people have that guide to navigation. And then the development standards establish those design-related standards for development. So height, facades, setbacks, and the specific topics of the development standards will typically change with the district because while every district will have things such as height, setbacks, lot sizes, a old town district would certainly have different things that you're looking at than, say, a residential district. So after the base zones come the overlay zones, and this is areas where there's an underlying base district, but there's some characteristic of the overlay that really amends those standards that apply, either allows additional allowances or further limits it. And one example is the airport overlay district, which is an example. So it's over a number of different base zones, but there's things related to the airport, the height, the noise, and the uses that are further limited because of the location of the airport and the safety zones. So these are also a great tool for implementing concepts in your general plan as well. So there's some that are existing overlay zones, and then there's some that, such as the hotel or the hospital, that are new overlay zones that we'll be looking at, seeing how they can be incorporated. Uh-huh.
The issue where along the corridor of 500 feet on either side of 101, where you could have a lot of different zones, however, that could itself be an overlay zone because it's within 500 feet. Is that the type of thing that the overlay zone could, it could be addressed with the overlay zone?
Sure, that could be, right, that could be, if it could be addressed with an overlay zone, yeah. We can also look at the specific characteristics, and it might be something that is a limitation on use, like I said, in those tables, depending on what districts are there. But
okay,
certainly.
Thank you.
So part four is a real substantive section as well, and these are regulations that apply to multiple districts or apply citywide. So where there's district-specific regulations, those would go in Part 2 in the base zoning districts. And Part 4 is really things that wherever you are in the city, things may be treated the same way, like non-conforming uses. Your provisions for non-conforming and dealing with non-conforming uses apply regardless of zone, or they apply to multiple zones. Demolition and relocation, landscaping, lighting. There may be some differences between districts, but there's at the same time, there's, for example, the requirements for landscaping plans are typically the same wherever you're doing landscaping. So this is the group of things that apply to multiple districts or citywide. One of the big sections in here is the standards for specific uses. So things such as telecommunications facilities, home occupations, other types of uses that just by their nature of them have some standards specific to them. Part five is the administration and permits, and this is really the guide to how the zoning ordinance is administered. And it starts by identifying the authorities and their roles in administering the zoning code. So the town council, the planning commission, the planning director, everybody's roles and responsibilities are articulated. And then there's a set of common procedures. So every time you know if you're if a permit has a hearing, you know the process for going through the notice and the public hearing and so on. So all those common procedures are put in one place, and then followed by procedures for the specific approval processes. So whether ministerial, whether it's kind of an over-the-counter check, there's the process for that. Discretionary, if it's something that's going to the planning commission, if it's a use permit, there's the processes articulated for that. General plan amendment, zoning amendment, so forth. So this is all the provisions related to administration and the permit processes. And the final section is the reference section of general terms. And there's two major parts here. One is the use classifications, and the other is definitions. And the use classifications are really those definitions of uses. But our approach in this is a lot of old zoning ordinances would really try and provide an exhaustive list of uses. So, you know, I worked somewhere where coffin manufacturing was identified as a separate use, and bookstore versus video store versus drugstore versus department store. Well, instead, what we do with the use classifications is really look at grouping types of uses by function and characteristics. So as there's new uses and nuances in uses, you can look at, well, how do they function and what are their characteristics of it, and they're included under a group versus having to actually name out every specific kind of use imaginable, because we never actually imagine all of the ones that seem to come forward. And then there's the definitions is in this section as well. And as Anna explained, there's the Appendix A has the general plan policy matrix. And also throughout the annotated outline, we've tried to identify where relevant general plan policies would be addressed. And this really helps as our guide and as others' guide to making sure that, because the zoning ordinance is one of the important implementation tools for the general plan. So we want to make sure that we're implementing the policies in the appropriate place. And then this also provides a place for feedback too, if maybe there's an opinion on, well, you know, this could also be handled in citywide provisions or so on. It's really just kind of a tool to help guide and help us work through where to address everything. Appendix B also has a guide to the uncodified ordinances that have been developed over the year, and we want to make sure that those are getting incorporated as appropriate as well. So we've included that with the annotated outline. Again, as we move forward drafting standards, that we want to make sure that we're honoring and incorporating that work that's been done as well. So that really concludes my quick spiel on the annotated outline, and happy to get your reaction to the overall framework and what's anticipated for the content.
Mr. Daniels?
Can I call you Martha?
Sure.
Thank you. One thing that caught my eye was the use classifications. I hear what you're saying, and I'm in favor of what you're saying with respect to the uses and the modern classification system. How big do you think those will get, and without the inclusion of I'll call them the weasel words that really make it instead of more solid as a use, it would be maybe more flexible, which flexibility is certainly important, but there's a line there, mm-hmm. and I know you're nodding, so I know what I know that you know what I'm talking about. But you know, at a certain point, there's this big gray area over that line, and how do we deal with those uses? That's really what I'm trying to get at.
Sure. And it's certainly a balance, and I would say that the use classifications still do provide quite a bit of detail, and it is a somewhat lengthy section. And depending on the community that we work within, there can be more detail in some areas, and things can get called out separately, and that more with more specific definition. One example I would say is firearm sales, for example. That's a very specific kind of use that often gets pulled out of a general, more retail sales category. So it's a balance and a blend, I would say, providing that flexibility and that ability for it to stand the test of time, but at the same time, providing that detail to catch and capture those outliers.
So would you, could you see yourself with many paragraphs just for one use? Like a whole page for one use? I'm trying to put my arms around it.
No, I would look at a paragraph per use, but say one use group may be public and semi-public uses. And so then under that, you have a number of uses in that category: community assembly, cultural institutions, schools. So all those will have a paragraph definition.
Any questions from this side? Commissioner Dressler?
I have a question regarding the balance between the balance between specificity and flexibility. When the document uses a term like an analysis of risk will be done, that can mean so many things to so many people, and it's in a way not specific enough to actually give an indication of what success looks like. Because someone could bring their risk analysis to the staff, and the staff said, no, and send it back to them. And then they could bring a next iteration, and they go, not good enough yet, you know. On the other hand, I understand that that too much specificity in something like that would exponentially increase the size of the document and make it almost unwieldy. So how do you address finding that balance?
Well, it's working with the city, honestly. And we like to, in our minds, think as we're writing things, regulations should be mappable and measurable. So we look for where it's black and white. Understanding that there is an area for discretion, and that's fine, but calling that out and having that discretion occur at the right places, where it's not an over-the-counter ministerial staff level permit, but at the same time they have a lot of discretion in that. The area for discretion is when it's going before where it's a discretionary permit, where there's a hearing and you can add conditions. So like I said in the slide earlier, it's really about finding the right balance, and how we do that is we, based on what we've seen, what we've heard, we take a first cut at that with a preliminary draft of regulations, and then we work with staff and with your commission on, you know, did we get it right? Did we have enough specific, was it specific enough? Was there too much direction, and work from there?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Onan?
Chair West, I do have a couple of questions. So in the annotated version where the general policies are listed, in the, that's just for our building process?
Yes.
Okay. So then in the uses that we were talking about, we were specifically, what was it, which section was it in? We were talking about specific uses and listing all those, but are we going to, will there also be prohibitions listed? In other words, if you have something that's not allowed, is that discussed? You know, for instance, our general plan calls out, I believe, still calls out no big box in the Old Town area. Isn't that true? And you, is that still? So, I mean, would that be an overriding provision in there? Or
well,
how
we typically don't list prohibited uses because it can lead to some redundancy and confusion. So instead, what we do is we identify what's allowed, and whatever's not identified as allowed is prohibited. The problem that you get in trying to identify what's allowed and identified what's prohibited is if you miss something, then there's a gray area. So we just say, here's what's allowed, and if it's not on the list, it's prohibited.
Okay, and then from the structure of it, the thing that kind of jumps out when you're reading through this is you can almost imagine that this will be used a lot online, certainly in the future more so. So are you incorporating that online use, you know, like you have list of terms and some of the general plan policies there in different appendix, you know, A and B, are they going to like be connected within these sections? So when you're using it online, you actually can go right to these things rather than go through multiple sections to get there? Or how do you accommodate that?
So when we've done the online versions, you would just be able to go directly to that section. So if I bring up one of the use tables, say, and in the additional regulations, it says, you know, section 301, if I can read, then you could just click on that and it would take you directly
okay.
to that.
Okay.
So it's the online versions are interactive.
Okay. So it'll that gives you clear, like definitions and things. I know one of the objects is to have a consistency of language. So the definition for a word used anywhere will be the same.
Right.
Unlike how it functions sometimes now. But so that would be a click to it and go to a definition or,
right.
or whatever. Okay.
All right. So I have a few questions. First of all, I'm looking at your slide with the types of zoning. Have the types of zoning that we are using in Goleta already been decided as part of this annotated outline, or is that still up for grabs?
No, I would say this: the annotated outline, as we populate it with standards, would really have a mix of these types of standards.
Okay. That's good because I think these are all interesting tools. Yeah.
And just to add, that was actually discussed during the beginning of this process, is how far did we want to go away from the current format and how we do it. And it also feeds into the budget that we have available. For example, if we decided to go completely form-based, much more expensive code to develop, and it takes a lot longer. So the decision was made to sort of keep the hybrid nature of what we have performance-based initially, or Euclidean-based, use-based initially, but build in a little bit of the form and a little bit of the performance and sort of keep it as that hybrid.
Okay, well, I look forward to understanding that more because it's exciting to me, and it's neat to see all these on here, and we'll see how we make them all work together. And then on your next slide, something that came to mind for me as I was reading through this quite a bit was how flexible the standards are. And I can think of a number of times here on Planning Commission when we've seen projects and it almost seems like the applicants come in expecting a waiver from, let's say, the 100-foot setback for Esha. And my career path has been as a landscape architect, and I know that any designer will design something within whatever constraints are presented to them. So I've always wondered why we get so many projects here at the Planning Commission that aren't designed to the constraints that I feel are presented in the general plan. And it sounds like that's something that we're going to address here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I would just say throughout the drafting and any time we either provide that mechanism for flexibility or not, that's up for a discussion and talking through with your commission. You know, is that appropriate? Is that too far? Is that what we can also do is look at what those requests that commonly come before you. What are typically those requests, and then what typically is your response to that? And if there's some consistency with some of those, we can incorporate those into the ordinance and make that the standard rather than the process for going through a modification. Or if there's certain permits that you see consistently and you're consistently putting the same conditions on them, you know, we can wrap those into standards as well.
Okay, I'll be interested to see how that all...
On that subject,
yeah.
If I could just sneak in here, and this is maybe a question for Jennifer, is this process a process by which we are just overseeing the codification of policy, or through this process is there going to be an opportunity for us to make recommendations to the City Council regarding policy?
There will absolutely be an opportunity for the Commission to make recommendations as to policy. As we're going through this document, if there are elements of the plan, the general plan policies that you're seeing that we're deriving the regulations from that you believe should be changed or you have recommended language that you would like to see, that's your opportunity to make those recommendations to our City Council.
And when will that opportunity be in this process on the timeline?
As we're going through the modules, as things start coming up, we'll be keeping a list of any issues that are coming up. And as part of your official approvals, you would be, or as you consider the ordinance, that would be an opportunity for you to recommend those things to the council. And then we would move forward on that at a later date. They could also move a little bit faster depending on how many things come up during the discussions over the modules.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your question about what can't be built, because that was one that I thought as well. So I see how saying what can be built is the way to go. Otherwise, you're kind of moving yourself into a corner. Okay. Well, that's kind of all the questions that I had. I think overall it seems really well organized to me, and a lot of the things that I wanted to see in here personally are in here, so I don't have a whole lot of questions at this time. Any other commissioners step up? Commissioner?
Kudos to the staff who dealt with the policy matrix. From my standpoint, I know what you have to go through for that, and that's a lot of boring work. But I think you got it all in there, and so anyway, kudos again.
Chair West, can I add something?
Yes, Ms. Wells.
In an attachment to the staff report, I think it's attachment B, is a guide to zoning, and that was prepared by Michael Diet from Diet and Bhatia. And I really suggest that you spend some time with that. It was written just for the city of Goleta, and it's nice to kind of pause, and some of the things that Martha was talking about tonight are echoed in that attachment and elaborated in some cases. So I just wanted to point that out to you and also to the public that it's a handy reference guide.
Okay, and then would you be able to provide us a quick little update on the Goleta zoning website? I went there today, and if someone sends an email to you, how is that whole process going to work if for public input?
Oh, thanks. That's a good question. We're working on that site still, so every day you'll see there's more things loaded up on it. The next step is to get the email working, and we were working on that this evening, is a way to log in and get e-blasts every time we update the site. So when we load the PowerPoint from tonight on the site, then people will get an email saying that there's material, new material on the website or announcements about meetings. So we will be doing a press release once we get that email locked in onto the GalitaZoning.com website.
If I could I suggest that all the planning commissioners be enrolled in that? I know we are going to get our, but I mean, we should probably be in touch with that site all through this process.
And that's the intention, and that will really kick off when our public information officer does a big press release on this, and you'll be involved. We're just working the kinks out of the system. We need that email to get to be the main kind of point of focus for the outreach to people, and yes, you will be included in that.
Okay, thank you.
Just one other point about the matrix. There are a number of question marks that are discussion issues, and I see those, and when would be the right time, and tonight that's not what I'm talking about, but when would be the right time to actually have those discussions?
Well, some of the discussions will occur with staff as we're developing the draft standards, and then if there's any part that you want to discuss further when we bring the draft standards to your commission, that would be the time for it as well.
Okay, I just wanted to follow up with Ms. Wells. For people watching this on TV, if people want to have comments or be part of this process, what's the next opportunity for that? Or would it be the website that you mentioned?
Right now, people are welcome to, and always, to send directly to the city, to my attention, to Jennifer Kerman's attention, or Lisa Prossy's attention, comments on the zoning code. So paper in the mail, email, fax, walk it in, drop it off. We're always accepting comment. And then when the site is all set up, then you can submit comments electronically as well. So,
and then those will those be compiled in a way that the Planning Commission and the City Council will get to see them at some point? Or
yes, so we will make that available to you. I also have a public comment binder. Just a history of all of the staff reports and a public comment log so that people can see the comments that are being provided at our meetings. I'll put them out on the table so that other people can reference them. But we will be making comments available to you as well.
And at what point in the process are we going to check in with those comments? Would that be during the modules? Would we receive maybe a packet of letters, anything you'd receive to that up to that point regarding the item that we're looking at that evening? Is that how it would work?
Yeah, that's the traditional way we do things, where we bundle things up for the next meeting. So we'll have the Module 1 meeting with you pretty soon here in a month or so, and we'll bundle up all the comments that have been received and transmit them to you either then or perhaps earlier if there's another Planning Commission meeting that is not related to the zoning code. We still might make sure that you get those at that time, depending on how many we receive.
Good, thank you.
And just real quickly, Chair, the first module, can you remind me what that is?
It's administration.
Thank you.
And I have a question. In looking at those modules as they come to us, how are we going to compare and contrast to the existing?
Well, typically what we'll do is in the introduction kind of describe and summarize the big ideas and the changes from the existing. So in your existing ordinance, maybe you had five types of permits, and, you know, in this one we're proposing two types, and here's what they are. So it's the narrative in the introduction.
So where there's any kind of a change like that, that'll always be called out and demonstrated?
It's typically the substantive changes, I would say, and categorizing those.
I can add, Commissioner Onit, we are basically throwing out the entire old ordinance and starting over. So we will be bringing things
over, but we're trying to stay away from that line-to-line comparison because it will be like apples and oranges. So talking about the substantial or the substantive comments when we start, that'll give you an idea of sort of where it's going, but we're trying to stay away from this is what we do now, and this is what we're going to do in the future, and we're just trying to focus on this is a city ordinance, whereas right now we're using a county ordinance, basically, and we're just trying to move that forward there. That makes sense. We can also sit down, and I could show you where the differences are.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the, understand that we're, you know, building it all anew, but there'll be critical areas of comparison where you want to know where we've been in order to see that there's going to be an improvement or this, or there's going to be
true. And I think it'll be apparent in sort of the more conceptual level. Like there won't be matching. The permit names are going to be changing. Mm-hmm. The procedures are going to be changing. So it's going to be really difficult to say, well, you know, you have a development plan here, and now it's turning into this, this, and this over here. And I think it's going to be really tough to really be able to do that. So I think sort of explaining the process and how it would work as a new might actually be more beneficial. But we could definitely do a touchback as we can. Moving through the process.
I just imagine that, you know, the public and stakeholders will be demonstrating that to us of, you know, this is what we're dealing with and what is it going to be? And for us as commissioners, not be able to get back to that point might be a disadvantage to understand where they're coming from.
Okay, anybody else? Mr. Daniels?
Yeah, I would just like to thank everybody. I'm comforted to a certain extent on what I'm seeing tonight and look forward to the first module. Thank you.
I'm not only comforted, I am impressed. So, yes. All right, in that case, I think we can move on unless there's anything else. Okay. We'll move on to the director's report.
Okay. I don't have much for you this evening. I just wanted to give you all a heads up that we have a number of cases that are moving through our processing system that we have here. You have one new initial study in front of you tonight that's been released to the public. You will be getting another one more than likely next week. Both of these cases will be coming to you in February. There, as many of you know, there are new stormwater requirements being moved forward by the state, or they are actually in a, they go into effect on March 6th. So there are two cases that we would like to bring to you prior to that date, and that's what we're going to be attempting to do at the second meeting in February. So the second meeting in February will be a very large meeting. You will have two cases and more than likely some elements of the zoning code. But it's really necessary in order to get these moved forward so they can adhere to the old stormwater requirements.
Ms. Carmen, a quick question. What division or department of the planning department is going to have the authority to actually review the stormwater? Who's it going in?
Public Works does the actual stormwater review.
Okay.
The planning department needs to make sure that we're adhering to all regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as making sure the stormwater regs are met, Public Works has to sign off on those plans.
Okay. Thank you. That's what I wanted to hear.
Yes.
All right. So it looks like we have a busy February. Any planning commission comments this evening? Okay, then can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you all.